You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
Hello there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of our Bad Batch Recaps here on For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. It is time to talk episode 3 of season 2, titled The Solitary Clone, and what an episode we have to discuss. I am one of your hosts, Andrew, joined today by the One-Eyed Knight, Connor. How are you today?
I'm good, man. I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Pretty good. It's been a weird, lazy day, but I did get some stuff done earlier, but I've just been in like a zombie state since then. But it was nice because we had your other podcast dad on last week to talk the Bad Batch premiere.
And then this week, the custody battle deepened.
The custody battle part two. And then this week we had another installment of the scheduling goes to hell last minute. But we are here to talk the Solitary Clone because We couldn't afford to not talk about this episode because what an episode it was. This was, I don't know what I was expecting when the episode started, and I could tell it was going to be a very Empire-heavy episode. And then we got Crosshair finally for the first time, so I was like, are we just not going to get Bad Batch like in this episode? But by the end of it, I didn't care.
I mean, because, arguably we did.
I mean, yeah, Crosshair.
But the actual crew.
Yeah, the actual crew. But like Crosshair.
I've seen some people online say like, oh, it's so weird how some of the best episodes of the Bad Batch don't feature the Bad Batch. And I'm just kind of like, there's something weird to me with that take. Like, I get it. But just the way it's phrased, it feels...
Yeah.
I don't know what the right word is, but it just... There's something off about it.
Yeah,
maybe
you know,
wrong.
I don't know, because, like, Book of Boba Fett had the same issue, but I feel like it was more of an issue in that show because it was only 7 episodes. We have a full 16 to play with this season, and Crosshair is still part of the group, even though he's with the Empire right now. So I am totally okay with it. And plus we got the return of the King in this episode. So I think it makes up for it. We start off on a new separatist planet and they're the Empire is trying to take it over. They're trying to install their rule on this new planet.
Which is always one of my favorite little tidbits. In Star Wars, it's just like seeing the early Empire and just seeing them try to assert their authority over worlds and to see their that world's reaction is always really interesting to me.
Yeah, especially because in this one, it was Desix was the name of the planet. But
I seriously thought it was like going to be a familiar planet from the like even from the way it looked, I was like, this looks new, but I wonder if it's going to be like a planet been to before.
The way the episode started, it was like, because we saw a bunch of like mountains and like dunes and stuff, I'm like, are we on Geonosis? But then I saw a lot of the grass and I was like, okay, so this is a new planet or this is something different. But I did enjoy the look of the planet. I liked how it made you like feel like you've been here before, even though it's a completely new planet, just because we know it's a separatist world. But they did a good job at like being like, okay, so we've been a part of the Alliance since the beginning. We're an independent system. And then having the governor of the planet have all of these associations and bringing up the Mina Bonteri story in the Clone Wars. I had to double check. I was like, was she in those episodes? But I'm like, no, she's an entirely new character. But I was like, okay, no, this is cool.
That Mina Bonteri reference was really cool, and I'm glad that you said that you checked it, because I forgot to, because I was wondering. I was like, wait, wasn't there like a season 6 arc where like Mina Bonteri said something about some treaty? Or not season 5, like, season 6. I was like, isn't there some arc in there where like Mina Bonteri's a part of it, and there's like some treaty that she tries to coordinate? But I can't remember.
I checked, and she was new for this episode, but okay. It was... they did a good job of being like, okay, so she's been here all along. We just haven't met her yet, which I loved. But then
maybe if we go back, once we get to like season five in like 5 years, maybe at the rate we're going, maybe once we get to it, we'll find like some random background character barely looks like Tawny, and we'll just be like, Tawny. There she is.
There we go. Got her. Someone just in a helmet. Like, there we go.
That's her.
She's yep. right there.
That's her. She just Sir, she's in a helmet. I don't care. That's her.
That's her.
It's law. I've spoken it.
Oh, God, the same thing's probably going to happen if we just find some like bland looking like Republic officer, be like, all right, that's Rampart. Like, we're just, it's going to keep happening.
Real like rectangle faced looking asshole. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Rampart. I got to say, like, it was really cool. Like, the governor comes in and then Tawny just completely just takes care of him within seconds. Like, we see a lot more TK troopers in this episode because we didn't have any in the premiere, but just seeing the battle droid show up again and just hearing Matthew Wood's voice, battle droid voice again, I was like, oh, I missed you. It's like one of those things that like
yes.
Dee Bradley Baker's clone voice gets most of the credit or like most of the attention and deservedly so, but like Matthew Wood's battle droid voice, I think, is just as iconic. So just seeing the droids again.
Agreed.
I loved it. And this.
And just speaking of the droids, like, I don't know if you were conscious, if you were aware of this, like, when you were watching it, but, like, I was consciously aware that I was like, yeah, I need to be rooting for the Separatists.
Yeah.
Which, like, I found weird at first, but then really did it.
Yeah, the one thing that I was like, okay, this episode is awesome, was like, it felt like an episode of the Clone Wars, but the perspective was switched.
Yep.
Like, we were rooted, like, the Separatists were the good guys, the Clone Troopers are like, oh no, we don't want them to win, but we're still following the clones, and it's like, okay, so we like Cody, and we like Crosshair, and like, they're doing a bunch of cool stuff, but it still feels like something's off.
Yeah,
and it, like, the music is different. Kevin Conner uses a lot of like more like Blade Runner type music as opposed to the like Clone Wars fanfare stuff.
It plays out like the whole operation plays out like
a Clone Wars episode.
Season 2, season 3 Clone Wars episode that we would see, mm-hmm. but it's like there's like you said, there's something off.
Like about. They're taking out the droids, and then everything switches when we get to the ending with Cody and Crosshair and the Governor. And then it goes, oh no, like this is different. And they did it intentionally like that, which I love. And it added to what I talked about last week of how the early episodes have kind of started to change the perspective by giving more humanization to the Separatists with Sereno last week. And then they did a couple stuff in season one as well. This was like the first example of, okay, we're going to portray them as the good guys. We want Tawny and Desix to get out of this and get away from the Empire, but you can't escape the Empire. And that shot of the end with the Star Destroyer in orbit.
Yep. Yep.
So good. It's so chilling every time you see something like that. But we then, once Governor Groton is kidnapped, which, by the way, like, what a way, like, immediately dislike, like, unlikable, just irritating character.
Yep.
Like, a lot of these, like, lower-ranking Imperials are. Just, like, it's very typical. He reminded me a lot of, like, the Imperials in, like, the early seasons of Rebels. Or they're just, like...
It reminds me of this thing in Rebels.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, so remember that guy in Rebels that, like, the Grand Inquisitor killed? Reminded me of him. Like... But then we cut to Crosshair, and this episode is such a great
character. The man is hangry
of Crosshair and of Cody, to yep. where like they are both the solitary clone in this situation. Crosshair, because by the end of the episode, he is the only one left. No more Clone Force 99, no more Cody. Everyone he knew in the Empire is now gone, and he's the only one there, and he's very clearly ostracized, as we see in these scenes. And Cody, because he realized that, you know, this Empire thing, Not for me.
Dude, and when they said he went, when Ampart said Cody went AWOL, I flipped out. I was like, yes.
I was so excited because I thought we were going to get a bill, but like right away, them being like, nah, man, he's gone. He's running away. They did such a great job at doing that. But
yeah, yeah, Cody's story in this episode I thought was really good. Like, especially those two moments in the beginning and end by the mural with all the Arabesh.
Those scenes were amazing.
What was I going to say? Oh, I also really liked, there was that one little conversation those two clones had in the cafeteria about the defense recruitment bill.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, another factor into seeing how the clones are going to get phased out. I can't wait. Just like, the biggest strength of Bad Batch for me is seeing the transition from the Republic to the Empire in both ways, big and small. And the recruitment bill is like just a small contributing important factor to that. And I just can't get enough of that stuff.
No, exactly. I feel the same way. Every time they keep showing the transition, I get more and more excited because now it's like, okay, Kamino's out of the picture, but like we still have some clones. How are they going to do it? And just the way, from everything from that talk of the bill to just the way Rampart talks to Crosshair, like going back to, oh, CC9904, like, and when Crosshair like refers to Cody as Commander Cody later in the episode, he's like, Cody, he has no fucking clue who Cody is, because he only sees them as numbers. Again, like how the whole point of Clone
Wars, they're dispensable.
Like, yeah, the whole point of Clone Wars was they're not numbers, and every time you had a Jedi or another character in the Republic just use their clone numbers, it was like, no, you're an asshole. Now it's like, that's all they are. That's the norm now. Exactly. And one of the best shots of the episode in my mind was right after the mission on Desix, when you see, as the clones are leaving, another shuttle come in full of the TK troopers, and Cody's just watching them literally get replaced as it's going on. But
I didn't even notice, like, I saw it happen, but I didn't really like figure out the importance of it. And like now,
on the second watch, I was like, yeah, because I watched this one back last night because I was like, I just got to watch it again.
I watched this maybe 2 hours before recording.
Yeah. But we got to talk about whoever the hell is trolling Crosshair in this mess hall. Because as soon as this man goes to sit down, CC9904, please report to
Vice Admiral Rampart's office. It's like, bruh.
Twice. By the way, Shelby Young voiced the PA system. So,
and I think she voiced the tactical droid, too.
Yeah, she did. I thought she was Tawny at first because I was like, that kind of sounds like Shelby. But no, but she's back voicing characters, so I'm all for it. But then, yeah, we get Rampart is like, no, like, why are you even here still? We find out that he was literally on that platform for 32 goddamn days.
It's just like, dude, what are you guys doing? Yeah. It's like, this man is probably arguably your best sniper. Mm-hmm. And you're just leaving him out to rot.
Yeah, it's like, why do you even come back? It's like, I'm a soldier of the Empire.
The man can't get really any rest or food. He was left out to dry on Kamino for 32 days. Like, what are you doing? You know, this is not how you take care of one of your best.
No. And they're like, all right, you're not good enough. You're not well enough to command a squad yet. You're going to be with a new clone commander, and immediately I was like, wait a minute. And then eventually that was exactly what I thought, and I was very, very excited that the boy Cody is back. And they do a great job at building up, because Crosshair is just, like we said, he's standing in front of that mural, watching all these clones go by, and then you hear, like, oh, Crosshair. And it's like, oh, my God, is it Cody? And then he shows up with his – first of all, I kind of like – the new armor of just the orange being replaced by like the muted gray. I think it looks really sick as a like Imperial version of his armor. And even Crosshair was like, I didn't even recognize you. So like he just, it's the same.
You probably didn't recognize me because of the gray
red arm. Yeah. It's the same Cody, but like, again, it's something's different. Something's a bit off.
Yeah.
Because which I just love. But he's like, oh, you know, a lot of clones have been questioning if the Empire lately. And then the Order. And you have the great line, then they're traitors like the Jedi. And you just see the look on Cody's face because he's like, in his mind, he's like, am I doing the right thing here? Like,
that's the thing I love the most is like Crosshair just complete like quickly shuts him down. He doesn't even wait.
He shuts him down.
Nope.
But there's a lot in this episode I think can be interpreted as blind loyalty, or he's just telling himself this is the right thing because he's slowly realizing that he's like stuck and he's gonna be alone. Because I don't know about you, but by the end of the episode, I was on the, no, he's getting redeemed by the end of the season. Now, it's a bit weird to say because we do see him kill a woman in cold blood in this episode. But like,
yeah, I don't really know where I stand on
it. By the end with Rampart, I was like, oh, this, there, he's getting redeemed. Because I think that Rampart is trying to set him up by being like, all of these clones that keep leaving, they're connected to you somehow. Like, I'm going to pin this against you because I know you lied about Clone Force 99. Because Rampart finds out last week from
Wilco
that they're alive. So that means that Crosshair lied in his report. So I think Rampart's trying to set him up. But I don't know. Knowing Crosshair, he might still be like, yeah, I'm still with you guys, though, because Empire, and I need to be a soldier. So, and, you know, as the kids say,
good soldiers follow orders.
Appropriate for this episode, I must say. But, no, the Cody scene, I thought, was just great. And
both of their scenes together in front of the mural, just so good.
Like getting to see him again, it felt like, because like, yes, he was in season 7 for like those first 2 episodes, but it feels like it's been so much longer since we've seen
him. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just something about, and then him showing up, like we had the Obi-Wan comic earlier in the year, which Jake talked about in our year end episode. If you have not watched, I did upload that yesterday.
Dude, check it out.
Recording. It is so fun. It is so fun.
Honestly, one of our best episodes.
Yeah, I did some fancy schmancy editing for some of it. And yeah, I think you guys will really get a kick out of it because we talked about a bunch of great Star Wars stories and we got a whole bunch of opinions. And yeah, I really enjoyed
a lot of shocks too.
A lot of shocks.
You guys to me, which was, yeah.
Yeah, the way Connor started his list off, I was like, oh, so this is, it's going to be one of these videos, huh? And then
yep.
Jake completely set us up at one point thinking that he was going to
say one thing and then he said another,
which, again, just check the episode out. It's one of our favorites. I'm going to be doing a bunch of promo for it on social media and everything, so just follow us on all forms of social media. But then we get to the mission, and even, like you said, like such Clone Wars feeling – even like the briefing on the shuttle felt straight out of Bad Batch or the Bad Batch episodes of season 7 and like Siege of Mandalore. Like it felt okay. Like this feels like we're back in the Clone Wars. This is a Clone Wars episode. And again, like there's still a bunch of like small differences. Like the music is a bit different. And of course the clones are just in their plain white armor, except for Crosshair. But it felt so Clone Wars. And then when we get to the planet, oh, by the way, shout out to Tawny's like helmet armor thing. Like,
oh yeah,
it's really cool. Also,
it's so sick.
I got kind of okay. I'm gonna end it there. This is the second episode of Robars. Stop doing this to me, Lucasfilm.
I get it.
The reveal when she takes the helmet off, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Where are we going here? It's like, because I thought she was going to... At first, I was like, is she a droid? And then I was like, is she someone we know? But then she opens it up. It's like, no. It's like, oh, Mina Bonteri wanted peace. And you fuckers, you know, the Empire, you suck. And I was like, okay. All right, so I'm liking what she's saying right now. This is she's making a lot of good points, and I thought it was a really nice way of building them up. So the clone shuttle is shot down. They do this like fake out, making them think like everyone's dead, but we know they're not. And then Crosshair and Cody come out from the corner, like through the fire, which I thought was a really cool shot. And then we get to see them. Then the next like 10 minutes or so is just a bunch of like we said, like old Clone Wars, like battle, like fun.
Dude, legitimately, like I gotta give it up to like the sound design and sound mixing. Oh, yeah. I know that David Collins, he's like the principal sound design and sound mixer.
Yeah, he said this was one of his favorite episodes he's ever worked on.
I can see why. Because literally you have Crosshair's rangefinder, when mm-hmm. it's like zooming in and everything, it's the same exact sound effect as from when you use the heads up display in Star Wars Bounty Hunter. The exact same one. And I noticed that on my rewatch today, and I just I flipped out. And then when Crosshair shoots through the
through the tank
of the AAT. Just the sound of mixing and the sound effects for that happening, for that explosion was just phenomenal. And just hats off to David Collins and the entire sound team at Lucasfilm. You guys are doing
phenomenal
work.
Absolutely killed it. Again, it just felt like we were back in the Clone Wars at these points. It was great. Also made me discover that like it will be such a missed opportunity if you can't play as Crosshair in a Star Wars game at some point, because his combat just seems like it would be the most fun thing ever. Just like setting up the mirrors to shoot everything. Like, oh my God, that would be so cool.
I legitimately had to rewind the part where he takes down the tactical droid, because it just goes by so quick for me. And I'm just like, wait, so he did this and then that. I couldn't process it.
One of my favorite scenes in Clone Wars Season 7 is when Crosshair just takes out that entire hallway with his mirrors.
Yeah.
And takes out the entire hallway. I think is one of the most badass things ever. So getting more of that, I was like, okay, absolutely. The taking out the AAT was maybe the coolest thing in the entire episode. Like one shot, boom. He's like, they all have the same weakness, droids. And just little things like them being like, oh yeah, it's the clankers again. I was like, we're back. Like, it's like we're back, but
back with the twist. Yeah.
They teased us a little bit. It's like, but we're not, but like at the same time, it's like I'm rooting for, like I said, I'm rooting for Cody and I'm rooting for Crosshair, but I'm also like, no, I want the Separatists to win because I don't like this fucking Imperial governor. And like, we can tell they're in the right because again, the Separatist planets weren't supposed to be under Imperial jurisdiction, but the Empire is like, we don't give a shit. Like Palpatine's like, I played both.
You're not jurisdiction.
Yeah, everything's mine. Even Rampart's thing at the beginning, it's like, oh, they want to be an independent system, and he just laughs them off. It's like there will be no negotiations. Like you see how little they care about things like human rights or pre-existing treaties and contracts. Like, they don't give a shit. It's like, this is our galaxy, we're gonna rule it how we please, and it's like, we're gonna insert our own guy, you're gonna be gone. And even the thing, it's like, yeah, we have to take out we pretty much have to have a coup in this planet just so our Imperial governor goes there. So you're like, yeah, I shouldn't be rooting for this. Like, something, this isn't right. Like, something's off here.
Something's
really like
off.
When you think about it, it's like, yeah, we have to have this military coup to get the like ruler of Desix out.
Yeah, like, only we cares legitimately about have people. To assault a neighboring planet, not neighboring planet, but like a independent planet to force them mm-hmm. to bend to our will.
And you just see like that breaking down in Cody's head as we get like near the end of the episode.
Yeah, we get to that conversation, which like I love, because like Tawny really reminds Cody of what he once was, which was like a soldier of actual peace,
mm-hmm.
and not just a slave to a war machine that's hell-bent on totalitarianism under yep. the guise of peace and order.
Yeah, and like we see him.
But Star Wars
like,
isn't political.
No, definitely not. Definitely, it's never been political. This isn't political at all.
Never.
Space fantasy. Guys. It's just your space fantasy. This is totally made up. But like, you see, like the little like last like grasps of him trying to hold on to like what he believes the Empire was standing for, just completely slip away. Like by the end yep. of that conversation, which I loved. But before we get to that, we have to talk about them infiltrating the castle. And when I heard the Droidica rolling sound effect, I
started freaking yes.
out. I was like, oh my God. Because the one thing that these like throwback episodes do, like the Rebels one, I think it was called The Last Battle. And then this one, yes. whenever they bring the droids back, they do such a good job at rehyping the droids up and making them seem like as intimidating as they were when they were first introduced. And then like after that, like, because like when Droidicas show up in the Phantom Menace, you're like, what the hell are these things? And they have to take them out. And then same with the B2s in Attack of the Clones. When they first show up for the first time, you're like, okay, these are different. These aren't your, you know, disposal battle droids that like Mace can take 30 of them out in like 5 seconds. These are coming to play. But then everything yeah, after
like
that,
in,
they're like
in Republic Commando. I'll never forget playing that game for the first time. And I thought, because I'm so used to super battle droids being so easy to kill, I thought, oh, they're going to be pretty easy to kill in this game. No,
mm-mm.
That was a rude awakening.
Yeah. And then once we get through the droidicas, which again, the one of my favorite, like I said, moments in the episode, like the tank was great, but then them using like the B1 to blow up the droidica at
yeah,
that one point.
Crosshair, I think yeah. it's not Cody or Crosshair, whoever throws the bomb and then Crosshair shoots the B1 and the B1 dropped. That was clever yeah. as heck. I love that.
I liked it. I didn't notice it the first time. I watched it the second time. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Because someone had brought that up in a video. I was like, I got to watch this back. And I did. And I was looking for it. And I was like, okay, no, that was awesome. And then we go, okay, how can you top droidicas? Commando droids. I still think they're the scariest droid out there.
They're one of the coolest designs yeah. ever.
And
I love
the fact
them
that
so
they
much.
Weren't in the prequels is still astounding to me. Because like the fact that they were like, are this scary? And like they were created after.
They're not in the prequels, but they're in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
They're gonna Bad Batch. They're gonna be in Survivor. Where else? They weren't Rebels, were they?
I don't think they might have been. But, like, they feel like they've always been there. And the fact yes. that they weren't is, like, hats off to the Clone Wars for just making it seem like they're just this seamless. But every time they show up, every time they're in Clone Wars, they're, like, especially in the episode with Cut Laquane where they invade his home. I can't wait till we get to that. But seeing them again here, I was like, okay, here we go. This is awesome. And then when they summon more and more of them, it's like, things really, really heat up. Like Crosshair almost gets choked out by one of them at one point. Cody pulls a knife on one of them, which was yep. pretty sweet.
Yeah, Commando droids are pretty much a big reason. The introduction of Commando droids and rookies. I don't know if I mentioned this on our rookies recap, but like the introduction of Commando droids in the episode Rookies is a big reason why Rookies is one of my favorite Clone Wars
oh, yeah.
episodes.
It's so good.
Like just. They're so cool, man.
It's I keep thinking about when they had the Commando droids came in and then they were impersonating the clones on the comms with the Jedi. Oh, yep. It's still creepy as shit. They did a really good job at building them up as like horror monster villains, like in those episodes, which I love. And then they're just as scary here. That entire like stairwell fight was yes. awesome. Like they had to like literally do like unconventional shit to beat them, like Cody pulling out the dagger and just stabbing him right in the eye, and then Crosshair getting the mirrors out, which was just, again, I love the line. It's like, throw it. It's like, how far? It's like, as far as you can. He throws it, boom, takes out like four commandos and the tactical droid at the same time. I'm like, dude,
it's too good.
It's too good.
Freaking good.
It's too good. But then we get to, like we said, the conversation, and everything about this was when the episode went from like really good to like, oh no, this is freaking fantastic. This is like, we are completely deconstructing Cody. We're deconstructing the Empire and even Crosshair in a way, even though we don't really see him say anything. It's like he's witnessing again, like this quote unquote order and like what it really stands for. And like, he's done some horrible shit. Like, we saw him take out an entire village. We saw him shoot one of his own men at one point in season one. We see him take out the governor here. But like, again, seeing Tawny basically like be like, this, what, like, peace, like, you're fighting for a dictatorship essentially, and like having Cody like lower his gun and then take his helmet off and saying like, okay, do this for your people. Like, the great line of like, we've all fought one war before. Let's not start another. Too many people have died already. And I'm like, that is, I love that. It's like, okay, so the old Cody's still in there somewhere. Cause I'm assuming at this point, he still has his ship, doesn't know about the chips being a thing, which later in the season, hopefully that gets remedied.
Yeah.
But then
he still doesn't know about Obi-Wan, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Which is why I'm thinking, like, are we going to get at some point this season, like, Cody trying to, like, find him and, like make up for, like, make
almost
amends?
Almost killing him?
Yeah.
Like, because, hey, sorry I almost killed you.
Because the only other thing I could see them do that in is a potential season two of Kenobi. Or they just don't do it at all, because part of me thinks, because Cody's not in Rebels, part of me thinks that he doesn't make it out of this season, which I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that at all, but maybe that's what causes Rex to go into hiding, is Cody dying, which originally I thought it was going to be, because I did a prediction article about a year and a half ago for SWE, and I said we were going to get a Rex and Cody standoff, and I thought Cody was going to be full Imperial at that point. And I thought Rex was going to have to kill him, and that would have been what sets him off and makes him not want to be a part of the fight anymore. Now it's like, okay, Rex is going to have to save him. And that is really interesting to me, and getting to see them team up again is going to be awesome when we eventually get that. But this scene does such a great job at making us think, like, if this was Clone Wars, that conversation between Tawny and Cody would have ended. Tawny would have done the right thing for her people, and that would have been it.
Yep.
But because it's Bad Batch, and because the Empire isn't the Republic, Groton is freed immediately. He's like, all right, execute her. And he's like, I just promised her peace. What the fuck? And he's like, you do it, or you're going to be reprimanded.
And then the governor's like, put her body in the square. We'll use it as a warning. And I'm like, that's dark, man.
That's straight out of Andor is what that is right there. There are so many Andor comparisons in this episode, but that was straight up like
Clem. It reminds me of
Andor, which is why maybe it was a smart move to delay Bad Batch until after Andor was done, because very similar themes here, and I think the fact that we got Andor first was a good idea, because we would have had this, and then like 3 months later we would have been like, wait, this thing with Clem just happened. Bad Batch.
It's like, hey, I've seen this before.
It's like, oh, wait, hold on. A lot of the themes in Andor are actually going to enhance Bad Batch season two. And it's like, okay, maybe we'll delay it. So maybe that's what they were doing, but who knows? The whole release thing is still a mystery to me. Like, it still confuses the hell out of me. But then, again, the way they built this up of having Groton be like, oh, you need to kill her or you're going to face the consequences. And then you just hear the blaster and then you cut.
Yep.
And Crosshair. And then the bass drop with his theme that Kevin Conner has for him. I was like, instant fucking chills. It's like every time that plays, it's like, oh, Crosshair just did some insane shit right here. And like, it was, it got me. Like, I had to rewind it a couple times when I first watched it. I was like, okay, I gotta watch this again. And like you said, the body in the square, it's like, it's like the Empire is like, they're treated as a joke at points.
But when they're not, yeah, they're not.
Sometimes in this show, even, they're treated as a joke. But like, when they're not, it's terrifying. And this was another one of those examples. And you literally just see just every like belief in the Empire that Cody had just wash away in these next few scenes. Just even just the look on his face is like, no, this is done. Now, there was part of me that was terrified when this was going down and when Cody was trying to negotiate peace, because I'm like, okay, I feel like every Cody scene in the trailer has been in this episode. I thought Crosshair was going to kill him for a brief second.
Okay.
Because he's one of the traitors, like the Jedi. But thankfully that didn't happen, because again, the ending scenes of them leaving Desix, like I said, the Star Destroyer in orbit, the TKs coming in, the clones leaving, and just having Cody watching it. And you just knowing, like, Cody's like, nah, this is not right. Like, this is not what I signed up for. What have I done? I've made a horrible mistake. And then we get that second conversation by the mural of, you know.
And I love when he's like, you know what makes us different from battle droids? We make our own choices, our own decisions. And we have to live with them too. And someone on Twitter, I can't remember who, I think I just saw it while scrolling. Someone on Twitter pointed out that they thought that line from Cody is him just really still trying to grasp with him almost killing Obi-Wan. I think that's actually a pretty
solid. In his mind, he did kill Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah. In our minds, he did it. But I always forget. Sometimes I forget. What we know isn't always what the characters know.
Exactly. Like, Cody, at this point, one, thinks that was his own free will. Two, thinks he killed one of his good friends and his general in the Clone Wars. And yeah, it could be, I think it was that, and I think it was everything he witnessed and realized that he's fighting the wrong side.
Yeah.
And he's like...
And pretty much, like, the whole we have to live with them, too.
Yep.
There's a flashback montage on YouTube somewhere that's going to be made with.
Oh, it's like, going to be made by the end of the week.
Clone Wars episodes and moments and whatnot.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith and everything. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. But again, like earlier in the episode, we see him questioning the Empire, but like he still is like has some belief. Even with that conversation with Tawny, he was like kind of trying to justify it. It's like your people intact, two Imperial convoys. Like
it's like we're all fighting for peace and order here.
But then by the end he's like no, and he's like, this new Empire, do you think they're doing the right thing? And
your new Empire.
Yeah, it's like we're soldiers, we do what needs to be done. And it's like, again, you just see him breaking, and the great line about droids is one of my favorites of the entire series, honestly. Maybe one of my favorites in all of Star Wars animation is the...
Because it's the second Order 66 happened, you guys turned into battle droids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and they don't... Like, Crosshair
There's an irony to it.
Yeah, it's Crosshair great. Makes the point of, like, droids are weak. But he's essentially become a droid. He just doesn't know it. Or he'll... In a way, he does, because he had his chip removed. But, like, he... To the Empire, they're the exact same as droids. Clones, stormtroopers, it doesn't matter. They're expendable, and all they care about is ruling and power, and we see that on full display here. But, like, again, Cody earlier in the episode, talking about all the clones that were gone AWOL, the Bad Batch. We don't name them by name, but, like, Hauser last season. And at that point, he's probably like, you know, it doesn't shock me that they left. Of course, they wouldn't be down for the Empire, but then he's like, no, this isn't for me. And I'm wondering at this point, like, what does he think? Does he know Rex is alive? Does he know Rex is not with the Empire? Does he know?
He probably doesn't.
Yeah, like, what is because he's like, oh, it's good to see a familiar face again. It's like, what is going on in his mind? So, like, having him go away and go AWOL, and again, the line, just the, oh, yeah, he's gone AWOL. I was like, fuck yeah. Like, that was literally like,
I was so happy.
Oh, my God. Like, fist pumping in the air because we're going to see him fight with the Batch and with Rex again, and I'm so
excited. Or maybe he forms his own group.
Does his own thing. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm very interested in seeing where he goes, and now we have a whole season to figure out where this is going and to catch back up with him, but this is going to be like such a great thing. But then again, cutting back to Crosshair trying to sleep, can't sleep, so clearly something's bothering him, and then you just back in the mess hall and you get CC 9901004, please come to Vice Admiral Rampart's office again. It's like, this poor man, at least he got a bite of his food this time, just one. But and then again, like, you just see, like, Rampart, like, the way he talks to Crosshair.
Oh, my God.
It's like, yeah, you have a new commander. It's like, what happened?
He's so, like, just dry.
You're dismissed.
And he's so, like, just uncaring.
He doesn't give a fuck. Like, I think he wants Crosshair to, like, flip out on him so he can do what he did with Wilco. Because, honestly, at this point, Rampart is one of the ones that's openly like, no, fuck these clone troopers. He wants them gone. He probably wants to execute them all himself because he's one of those fucking awful Imperials.
So they're like, all out probably, for themselves, yeah, man.
He's probably disgusted that he has to even work with this guy. And again, like, Crosshair was one of the big reasons why that mission was a success. And it's like, no, you got it. You're still not ready. Got to be with this new clone captain. Go away. You're dismissed. And the final shot of him putting his helmet back on and walking across that corridor of, again, knowing that, like, solitary clone, he's alone here. Boom, end credits. We don't even get the Bad Batch theme. We get, like, just
the fact dreary. That the music continues.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of, there's an episode of Clone Wars or an episode of Rebels that I watched that, like, has the same vibe.
The Wrong Jedi does it at the
end. Yes, that was the one. Yeah, The Wrong Jedi, where, like, it doesn't cut to, like, the very triumphant, adventurous music. It just continues with the music that was playing. That's one of my favorite little tidbits in Star Wars that they do ever so often. It's just, and just the way I want the end credits music for this episode, because it was just really good, I thought.
Yeah, no, it was, again, what an episode. It's one of my favorites of the show so far, if not my favorite. Same. It's like, yeah, either this one or Rex's first appearance in season one, where they go to Braca. It's like, those two are my two favorites, but for,
I would say,
completely different reasons. And then the finale was great, too.
I think this and Replacements are my two favorite episodes.
Replacements
so far
was so good. Replacements was so good. And again, the way that they are transitioning from the Republic to the Empire, again, I love seeing more of it. I'm glad that that's, like, we're getting that in this show. Like, and originally was mainly just through the perspective of the Batch, but now we're getting it through, like, other characters. And I love the fact that we're seeing more and more clones. That's now two this season be like, yo, what the fuck is this Empire shit? Cody was just able to get away. Wilco wasn't as lucky. So I sense,
RIP Wilco.
I sense an uprising coming. That's all I'm saying. We didn't get the Stormtrooper Rebellion in the sequel trilogy, but I think we're getting it here with the clones.
And we just didn't get it in season one. Like, we all thought it was going to be.
Yeah, we all thought it was going to be in season one, but it's like, nope, there's another season. But it's like, all of this, and it's like, we didn't see the main group at all. So it's like, what is, we still don't know the continuation of their story. I thought there was maybe going to be, because there was that one episode last season where I think it was the first Hera episode where they either are barely in it or they don't show up until
they,
like,
They showed up like for like a minute.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, are we just gonna get a cutaway like right after they come back from the mission? And it's just the batch like on their ship or something. But no, it's like we get nothing. So now it's like, how are they gonna find out about this? What are they gonna do? It's like I'm very intrigued of what is gonna happen and how they get from being mercenaries to fighting against the Empire directly, which I think we all know is coming, but like the fact that like we're two seasons in and we still haven't gotten there is a bit like, okay, this show's maybe going at a different pace than we were expecting it to go. But as long as it doesn't get the resistance treatment and it isn't just canned before it has its like chance to fully end, I'm all right with it and I'm excited with where we're going. But yeah, Cody was awesome. If Jake was here, I'd talk about the fact that I need a black series of new Cody armor and of Tawny Ames. So Hasbro, get on that. But yeah, no, this was an amazing episode, and I'm glad that we got to talk about it because yep. It's still living rent-free in my head, and that's what great Star Wars should do. It should stick with you. It shouldn't just be something you watch first thing in the morning, or in my case, at 3 a.m. when it airs, and then you talk about it for a couple days. Oh boy, 3 a.m., time to watch my Star Wars. It's like, it's not something you just talk about for a couple days and then just don't think about it anymore. Like, it sticks with you.
Yep.
And this is going to be one of those stories. And what a way to start off the year of having, like, immediately, like, one of my favorite animated episodes right off the freaking bat. So, hats off to everyone that worked on this episode. Saul Ruiz was the director, and, of course, Brad Rao and Jennifer Corbett are the showrunners there. And, of course, Papa Dave. So much love to you all.
And to the writers.
To the writers, yeah. Everyone that's working in Lucasfilm Animation, you're killing it. And keep doing so, because I know some of us here aren't the most hyped for the Bad Batch, but I'm one of them, and I will always be super duper excited for any animated project we get, because that's why I made this freaking podcast in the first place. So yep. There we go. So I think we're pretty good here. Short for us, but
very short.
Very short for us, but we didn't have any shortness of stuff to talk about. That's for sure. We could probably stop if we could. But I think that should be good for us. As for what you can find coming soon, like we said, we put out our top five favorite stories of 2022. You can check that out on YouTube and at For the Republic Podcast and wherever you get your podcast. Just look up For the Republic, and you should find it right there. It's our first big show of the new year, and it was, like Connor said, it's one of my favorite episodes we've ever done, and I'm hoping that it's going to be a yearly tradition for us because it was such a great episode. And then we will have, probably coming next week, get back to the swing of things with our Clone Wars we watch, and boy, it's going to be weird going back to like regular Clone Wars after like the Clone Wars, but not really, that we had in this episode.
Yeah,
with like the tone that it was originally made for. I'll be like, should I be rooting for the droids right now? Like, I don't know what happened.
Like, I don't know what to do.
Guys, like 15 years of a show, and it's insane. By the way, 15 years of Clone Wars this year. That's that makes me feel old as hell. But there we go. So I think we're done here. Where can the people find it? Connor, start right off with us.
Twitter and Hive, both at Depa Banana. Instagram at Conma and JFO, although I rarely use it. I co-host another podcast, the Nerd Academy podcast with Jared the Dark Jedi. You can find him at Dark Jedi 2552. Nerd Academy at Nerd Academy podcast. The Star Wars show on there is called Knights of the Nerd Republic. We pretty much do. We function similarly to here at For the Republic. We cover news when we need to, talk new episodes of Star Wars TV or movies that come out, interviews, topic episodes, whatever else. And then you can find me at sweditorig.com/fiction. Over there, I work with a wonderful group of talented and creative people to help create a connected universe of Star Wars fan stories. Some of which I have in the works that will come out at some point. One of them is called The Hidden Kyber, and it's set shortly after the events of Fallen Order, and it stars Seer Jonda and Cal Kestis. So yeah, that'll come out sometime. I don't really know. The release schedule is so wacky at this point. I don't even know what's real anymore in terms of a release schedule.
What is real? What is life? What is time?
What is a release schedule?
I don't know.
Like
every time we think we have a release, it's
noise! Deceptions!
Pretty much. But as for me, you can follow me TikTok, Twitter, Instagram at Starlight Andrew. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at For the Repub Pod and on Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod. Also, SWEditorIG.com for me as well. I just put out a piece a couple weeks ago. Same thing. It was based on the Skeleton Crew video I did for this channel. So check that out. And I have some more stuff coming in the future, which I am excited to get working on soon. Both at SWE and other places, which I will update you all on very, very soon. And like we said, Bad Batch next week, we'll be back here for episode 4, and then hopefully back with our Clone Wars rewatch very soon as well, hopefully next week. So until then, we'll see you guys later, and may the Force be with you always.